Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Barbara joins us right now. Barbara Corcoran, who is on Shark Tank, and I'm a huge fan. How are you, Barbara?
I'm doing well.
Mike Hsu was telling me this morning in the office that you started everything with a $1,000 loan. Is that fact or is that like fiction?
Thank God it was fact, because I used $1,000 to get a new start in life and make a successful business. But you have to realize, $1,000, that was like 40 years ago, was like someone handing you maybe $8,000-$9,000. So it sounds a little bit better than it really was. It is a little bit better, or was a little bit better than it actually sounds.
Yeah, but still, we have a lot of people listening who have, and I love having guests like you on the show, because we have a lot of people listening who have a dream of starting their own business, and you know, obviously those people go on Shark Tank and they get help from you guys. But what do you think if somebody's listening right now and they have this dream, what is the first thing and the one thing that they ought to do?
Do it right away. Just step out and do it. I think the saddest people in life are people who have regrets, that they wish they should have, could have, wondered what would have happened. The one reason I have made almost every decision in my life to take any kind of a risk or make a left-hand or right-hand turn in my life and in business is I'm thinking, well, I don't want to regret it. I don't want to regret it that I can't, that I didn't take a shot. And in fact, recently I signed up for Dancing with the Stars against all the best advice from my friends and family. What a ridiculous thing, you can't dance. And I didn't. Of course, I was number one, as I'm used to doing, but I was number one eliminated. And God, was it embarrassing to be the worst dancer and be sent home immediately, like cast out. But you know what? It hurt, but the next morning I thought, gee, thank God I tried it. I would still be wondering what would have happened. You know, so just jumping out and trying it, I think, is the most important thing. And so many people plan long and want to get it right, but you don't have to get it right. You just have to get the damn thing going.
Just get it off the ground.
Just give it a shot.
And also, don't you think you have to get over, we all have a fear of failure, but if you can get over that fear of failure and just understand that you're going to wake, if you do fail, you're going to wake up the next morning and start all over again, that helps a lot as well?
It sure does. And you know what? The fear of failure obviously is the main obstacle in everyone's life, or what other people think. That's the second one, I would say. But when you do wake up and feel like you failed at something, it's a funny kind of a universe we have there. Every time I've had my worst my worst mistakes, where I was really thinking, why did I ever do that? Now look at the mess I'm in. I've always found some new opportunity right on the heels of that failure.
Yeah.
I just feel like you get sucked down, and then there's a bounce up, and somehow on that bounce up you see some other thing. And if you're not in the game failing, I could cite many, many things that I would have never even had the idea if I hadn't failed badly and was bouncing up and crawling to save my face or whatever. And that's always when I found some unrelated idea that became my next best hit. You could tell I haven't had a cup of coffee today. I'm actually addicted to one cup a morning. I'm trying to break it. I don't even talk right.
You've been pitched a lot of great ideas on Shark Tank. I'm wondering, Barbara, if you have in your mind the worst idea that you were, the worst product you were pitched on Shark Tank.
Yeah, definitely. We had a Rhodes Scholar, brilliant engineer, so articulate that we were all like speechless the way he represented, the way he pitched. But what was odd about his pitch was he wanted $5 million and he wanted to get it from all five sharks. We all could have the opportunity to make a bundle. And what he wanted to do is build a water tower in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, was going to cost $5 million, according to him, which of course made no sense, but it was going to convert all of the ocean water into pure drinking water. And then he had charts and illustrations. The more he talked, the more we knew he was a Looney Tune. so wildly entertaining to realize that we were wowed at first, and then little by little, it just started falling apart. But he's such a fervent believer that he could get it done.
Do you guys,
and that, to me, was the wildest surprise on Shark Tank, because I so misjudged the man.
Do you do all the sharks get along, like, you know, Mr. Wonderful and Mark and you and Laura? I mean, do you guys get along, or is there some animosity?
Well, we get along, obviously, as co-workers, and once we're off the set, you know, we drink together, we work 12-hour days together. It's like being in the war together, actually, day after day. But on the set, no, sometimes we have a lot of differences. Sometimes we express dislike for each other because people don't always play fair. You know, like, let's say I ask Robert, hey, Robert, be my partner in this. Come on, be my partner. And then he turns around, and in the last second, he takes Lori or Mark as his partner. Like, hey, what happened to me there? You feel insulted and outraged, but you get over yourself, because only 10 minutes later, another entrepreneur comes through the door, and you're listening to that pitch, and you're in your space, and you've forgotten what the animosity was all about. But then you file it, and you get even. You know, so I guess that's a little animosity. You drop Robert out on the deal.
I've heard you say that standing up to our president when he was a businessman was one of the most pivotal moments in your business career. Is that true?
I would say that's true, because it was the most frightening. And it was frightening because I was a loan operator with a brokerage firm. Fortunately for me, I was coming off my first successful, profitable year after 14 years in the business. I always plowed any nickels and dimes right back in to grow it bigger. But when I got sued by Donald Trump, I was shocked, because I had made the biggest deal in New York's history. He was near bankruptcy. I brought Chinese in to buy out the Plaza Hotel, ultimately bought out West Side Yards, block after block of the West Side, which he was desperate to sell. And so I thought I was his hero. And yet he turned around and sued me for the commission versus pay me for the commission. I thought, like, wait, what am I missing here? But fortunately, it was a great year, and I had money, profit. I had $500,000, and I spent it on legal fees to sue him and collect the money. And I was so thankful I had a great year. I would have just had to, I don't know, I would have had to just take it, I guess. But I sued and won, thank God, downtown, and collected every dime, and was so, so thankful that came at that time. But at the moment, it was the most frightening thing. It was like having the giant come in and step on your head. And I was like, wait, don't do it. You know, that's not fair. Life's not that way in the world of big business. It's not fair.
What's your opinion of him as a businessman, Donald Trump?
Well, that's a dangerous thing. I'll probably be audited for the rest of my life. But as a businessman, and you know, this fear factor is prevalent among so many people. I hear it. I sense it. But I'll be tentative with you in my own self-interest. I think he has his own style of working, which is something that I wouldn't want my own children to emulate in any way. Does it get you ahead in life? Yes, it does. But I don't really believe, as someone in the public eye and someone who's in a leadership position, I don't think that's a good message at all. So I'm just of a different thought on all of that stuff.
I want to ask you...
That's about as political as I can get.
No, what do you think? Good. That was
I'm
good.
Ready for office, right?
That was good. I want to ask you, if you could only ask one question of someone that you were interviewing for a job, what is that question?
Tell me about your mother. And I ask it all the time.
Really?
Why?
You
know
why?
Interesting.
Why?
You get a great mother, and someone like I have worked with a guy who runs all my Shark Tank business. Hired him the day after he graduated from college, and that was what got him the job. Tell me about your mother. I always ask, and he said, "My mother's the hardest working person I've ever met in my life. She's blah 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 blah," and went on and on about his mother. And I knew I had a good man there. And what else do you get from that answer from a guy like that? You get the idea that he has respect, not a bad quality in today's world, right? Yeah. You get the idea that he could work for a woman. That's not why I ask it, but if he doesn't like his mother, how successful am I going to be as his boss? And more importantly, you get someone who's genuine and who's appreciative. You know, appreciation is in short supply. And you know what? He is exactly that way. He's phenomenal in every way. And I just got that from Tell Me About Your Mother. And you know what else he went on to say, which wasn't my question after that? He said, "My goal really is to repay my parents back for the help they gave me with my tuition." Like, wow, what a kid.
That's Greg.
Well, don't you want to hire him? And that's why I'm not using his name, because I'm so afraid of losing him all the time.
Greg, that's like the Mindhunter thing. Tell me about your mother.
Yes, it
and
is.
She's, it's like the exact opposite with the guys on the show. Yes. You know, good relationship, you know, you get good people.
And do you actually end up making doing well and making good money on these Shark Tank businesses, well, Barbara?
Well, because you're asking now, I can say yes. But when I say yes, I'm writing off my first 3 years of losses, which is kind of cheater accounting. If I included my first 3 years of losses, which I said yes to everything on Shark Tank, you're nice, I'll do it.
Yeah,
great, you're nice, I'll do it. Until I realized that you have to write a great contract where you can actually make money along the way.
Yes.
So if that entrepreneur is making $1 million and you're a 10% partner, you say, you got to give me $100,000. That's the deal with partners. So learning that little nuance in my contract work was key to turning around the investments. And people are willing to do that. It's just I didn't know what to ask for. I had never done it before. I hired real estate agents for a living. That's what I did. You know, what do I know about all these businesses? But you know what's interesting, though? The most important call you really, or I make on the show, is picking the right people. And the right people, the right entrepreneurs, are exactly like my right salespeople. They're aggressive. They're competitive. They're street smart. They're going at you. They're usually insecure and have something to prove. So all those qualities that I always was able to vet out in building my own business, I've learned to use on Shark Tank, and that's really what has saved my butt from losing a ton of money.
The ninth season of Shark Tank is back on Sunday night, ninth season.
Sunday
and Barbara,
night, double episodes the next 2 weeks. Why that is, I don't know.
All right.
But guest sharks that are nutso in my opinion, but worth watching.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. It's been great having you on. That's Barbara Corcoran, who is... I don't know if you prefer her or Lori or both of them or Mark or if you have, do you have a favorite shark?
I'm a Cuban fan.
You are, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's pretty cool. He is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.